Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Bischoff and Brown here on the Detroit Lions Podcast. He's Scott Bischoff. I'm Russ Brown. We're back. It's been 2 weeks. Last week was a little crazy for the two of us. So we're back with some Lions free agency stuff. We're going to talk about a player fit at pick 29 with Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. And of course, we've got our prospect of the week powered by our friends over at Restore. Check them out over at restore.com. But as always, my man, Scott Bischoff, how are you, my friend?
I am doing very well. How are you?
I'm great, brother. I am great. It's Lions free agency. It's free agency in the NFL. We're like kids in a candy store just refreshing our phones. What's the next move? And I don't think we're going to look around the league too much. I mean, we can talk briefly about it if you'd like, but I'm a firm believer that teams that overspend in free agency are not doing things the correct way. The good teams in the league build through the draft. And we've seen it with the Lions over the last 3 years. We talked about this a few weeks back during the season in the playoffs about, and you brought it up. It was a great point of what they've done in 2021 draft, the 2022 draft, and 2023. I mean, they are hitting on almost every single player that they're drafting at this point. They're finding ways to get roles. So I love what they're doing. But looking at free agency, the Lions have spent a little bit. They've made some signings. They've made some trades. Like so much that I forgot that they signed Marcus Davenport for a minute. Like today, I was like, yeah. I was so happy about DJ Reader because that happened about 2-3 hours ago. They signed him to a 2-year deal at $27.5 million in total. Bunch of incentives involved there. So do we like, love, dislike? You guys tell us in the comments below here on YouTube. Of course, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that. Of course, rate, review, and subscribe to Detroit Lions Podcast. But how are you feeling about the Lions free agency? And ultimately, we've gotten better, right? I mean, we are a better football team than where we were.
Significantly. in an interesting way. Like, is Carlton Davis a better number one corner than what you had last year? The answer is yes, right? Amik Robertson is a player who I think comes in and gives you really good depth, gives you versatility, inside-out versatility, even though he's small. Let me say it differently. Even though he's short, right? But he's super athletic. He is he's the kind of player that the town's going to – the city's going to love him just because of the competitive fire that's there with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, last year, obviously, they had issues in their secondary. Just look at their last six games or whatever it is that they gave up, the numbers they gave up to number one receivers. It was just like, it's unsustainable, but they won a bunch of those games too. So, you know, so you've really given your secondary a shot in the arm. And the Davenport thing to me feels like, it's a prove it kind of a flyer move, but he's a different guy than they have had.
Mm-hmm.
He's big, long, and plays a very physical style. So he's, you know, the issue with him is just injury status. Like, can you keep him on the field? But from a play standpoint, you know, to me, Julian Okwara and Romeo Okwara, Charles Harris, these other guys, they're more finesse pass rushers, and Davenport is not that at all. Mm-hmm. So I like the size of Davenport. And then, you know, we talked a while ago about Graham Glasgow. It's a huge signing for them. It doesn't surprise me that they let Jonah Jackson walk. Glasgow gives them position versatility. It's a huge deal. Fits in the room perfectly well. And then today is the DJ Reader thing, which to me is like, this is a guy who is going to command double teams, who's going to get Aleem McNeil one-on-one, is going to get Hutchinson one-on-one, is just a presence that they have not had in a while. And I love what they've done. In the end, all these players, you add to what you had last year. Last year, they were in the NFC title game. I don't have to tell anybody about that, but they're close, right? I mean, they were close. And the things they've done, while not going crazy with the money, I agree with you completely. If you're going nuts in free agency spending money, you have issues. Mm-hmm. I love what they've done. You know, there's really nothing to knock. I think they've improved all over the place. What do you think?
No, I'm with you. I completely agree. I love the move for Carlton Davis. We can all agree that if they would have had a different number two corner on the field, I think there's potential that we would have been talking about this team in the Super Bowl. Not saying, you know, it's Kendall Vildor's fault that the ball bounced off his helmet or anything like that. I'm just talking throughout the period of an entire football game. Carlton Davis would have closed the gap significantly on some of the separation that was created by some of these receivers, and he would have made the plays on the football. I mean, he's physical at the catch point, and sure, he's not necessarily the same guy that he was, you know, years ago, but he still is a very talented corner. I mean, he only gave up 51 completions this year. And this is a guy that's drawing number one receivers in the NFL. I mean, yeah. He's got
to necessarily, I think Tampa plays a lot of zone.
Yep.
So bringing him here and playing him in man.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, we run cover three as our zone and cover one man is our man to man coverage. So I think bringing him in to let him do what he's best at is only going to make him better and, most importantly, make the defense better. And you needed a higher end talent on the opposite side of Cam Sutton. You did that. I love Amik Robertson. I think he's the fact that they got him for as cheap as they did, it might be one of the steals of free agency up to this point. I mean, yeah. He gave up 39 receptions last year in 17 games. Under a 60% completion percentage, it was 59.1. He had two picks. He's had 15 pass deflections in 2 years. He's feisty. And you showed me that interception against Green Bay from last year. He high points the football and like floats to get it. It's just, he's a freak athlete for a guy that's a little bit undersized. But you bring him in, yes, he's going to cover the slot. But that now allows you to move Brian Branch. Brian Branch primarily played in the slot. Now you can bring Brian Branch down in the box more, where it seems like he was better. You can blitz him. You can have him more in that safety role if you need to. You can do so much more now with the players that they've added, with Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson in their secondary. And they
Robertson will he'll knock the snot out of you too. I mean, he's, you know, he'll snot bubble you. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and that's the exact player that they need defensively. That those are what they're looking for. And I think you can still draft a corner. I mean, you could take pick 73 and bring in potentially Max Melton from Rutgers or Kalen Hart from Notre Dame. I think they're going to have interest in both of those guys. I know they've been looking at Dwight McLaurin, I'm butchering his last name, from Arkansas. That guy closes so quickly, and he's a fun player. He had a great pro day. I think they're going to really like him. So there's going to be options for them in the secondary, but DJ Reader kind of takes it over the top. I love Marcus Davenport just simply because it's a one-year deal. It's an incentive-based deal. It costs you nothing to have him. If he's healthy, cool. If he's not, cool. It's one, like, you want him to be healthy, but they know him. They're familiar with him from the days in New Orleans. So I love what they've done up to this point. They still might add another player or two. We'll see. You know, I don't necessarily know if it's going to be a receiver next or an offensive lineman. Maybe they could be done. I don't know.
I could see them, because it's a safety market, so there's a lot of safeties out there. I could see them finding a nice deal on a, you know, not an older player, but I could see safety and what they, I could. That one, to me, that makes some sense.
Yeah.
You know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson Jr. leaving, for what he got paid, I think it's okay. You know, you know, they've gotten better, but they also haven't done anything that's going to either force their hand in the draft or close a door either. You know what I mean? Like, we were talking before this started, you know, if a D tackle falls to them who shouldn't be there, let's say it's Jerzon Newton from Illinois, who I think is, I don't know what anybody else thinks, but
he might be
one of my favorite players in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way he should be available at 29.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at say 20, is it a player that, you know, we would all lose our minds over if they decided they wanted to be aggressive and go get him? Cool. Or, you know, let's say, you know, Quinyon Mitchell falls to a point where they think, okay, let's make a move because we love him, right? You know what I mean? So there's nothing that they've done that's really altered anything, with the exception of, as a general idea, they've gotten better, and I think, you know, significantly in some ways. DJ Reader's presence inside is going to be it's going to really open up things for Aleem McNeil, specifically Aleem McNeil, because he's going to get more singled up on guards.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's gonna feast on guards, and there are gonna be times when Reader's on Hutchinson's side of the ball, and it's gonna single him up too. I mean, I love what they've done, but I don't want to, you know, it's free agency, so you don't want to come off as, you know, fanboyish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's free agency. There's risks with all these guys. I think there's more risk with like Reader with the torn quad.
Yeah,
he's had twice, so there's risk there. But I think that's, it's also the reason why you get him for the contract you got him for, is that I think his, you know, it suppressed what they had to pay him. Mm-hmm. Davenport is a total flyer, you know, but you're right. I mean, if he totally busts, what have you lost? Nothing, you know? So, I mean, they still should be in the edge market. I think they will be.
Yep.
They still should be in the corner market, mm-hmm. even though they brought on two.
Yeah.
They should be. So, you know, I think it's funny because with Brad Holmes, you just never know where he's going to go in the draft.
Yeah.
And it feels like a month ago we were talking about their needs, and it was obvious. It was interior offensive line. It was corner. It was edge, and a little bit, you know, D tackle kind of thing. And okay, which positions have they attacked in free agency? You went and got a couple corners, upgraded the entire room there.
Mm-hmm.
You went and got, you know, a really impressive run stuffing D tackle who's explosive enough to get after the quarterback a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to open up things for everybody else. You signed an edge. You know what I mean? They've done, and you brought back Glasgow, which I think is right now is an underwhelming thing. But it's really important for where they are, that he can play center, and there's a little bit of security you have with Ragnow's, you know, foot injuries and the other stuff that's kind of piling up. But I mean, that's why I like it so much, is because it's really not altered anything you're going to do in the draft. It's just your roster is better today than it was last year, mm-hmm. and they haven't gone crazy to do it. So to me, it's very impressive what they've done. I like all the guys they brought in. So, you know, I mean, that helps.
Yep.
Sometimes teams make moves and you think, well, you know, like Jacksonville today, they signed Eric Armstead to a 3-year, $51 million deal. Now, I don't know how much guaranteed money there is,
right?
But that seems really rich for what he is as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And if you knew the Lions were going to have to pay that kind of money for Armstead, and it's money. So,
well, it's the same. It's not the same thing with Hunter when he's leaving the Vikings. He's the top, you know, defensive end on the market, and it's one of those where it's like, Were you really going to give up that type of money? The same thing with Jonathan Greenard. I thought he would have been a great fit here opposite of Hudge, but no way were they going to give up $75 million over 3 or 4 years to bring him in. Like, if you look at how they've been structuring deals, it's been 1 year prove it deal, 2 year, 3 year type contracts. And it's really easy to opt out of these deals. Like, they're structuring it very well so they can continue to keep their own. And then they're not getting stuck into cap hell, where some of these teams are going to be very, very screwed down the road. Like, you look at Denver, they gave all that money to Russell Wilson for one season where he played okay, just didn't fit with Sean Payton and what they're doing. And now they're stuck, you know, with the bill because he signed the league minimum deal. So, you know, the Lions aren't doing that. And like, yeah, they're going to have to pay Goff. They're going to have to pay, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell and all that stuff. And that's fine. You have to pay those guys. They're prepared for that, though. Like, they're looking ahead, and that's what it's about. So I personally love what they're doing. I'm with you. And I think you bring up a great point about the draft now. Like, going into the draft, corner, edge, defensive tackle, those were all huge needs. They still are a little bit, but now they're a little bit more on the back burner. Probably going to be middle day two type players that you're going to add there, and probably day three guys. You're going to add depth there. And now you're going to focus back on the offensive side of the football by getting a guard or a center, a guard center type of guy, and maybe a wide receiver. Maybe you get cute and move up for an edge. I mean, I was saying this before the show. The Lions have the 29th pick. We've seen them get aggressive. The draft is in Detroit, as we all know. You look at a team like Seattle at 16, and I just bring them up because they're always a wild card, but they have pick 16, and then they don't pick again until 81. This is a team that they might need to add some talent because they got a fresh coach there, a new coach, coaching to everything. So is that a big jump for them? Absolutely. Is it a pretty penny to make that move? Definitely. But does Detroit do it for maybe a Jared Verse, a Latu, a Dallas Turner? I don't know. I mean, it sounds crazy. Crazy, but it's very possible. I mean, it truly is possible.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's man,
the thought of Dallas Turner with Aiden Hutchinson is disgusting.
Yeah,
I think we'll be gone by this
midnight. Like, wow. He would be perfect. And the idea of then going with a 5-man front at times, letting him stand man. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do. I am going to fanboy here for a minute just to add the thought of that. So, I mean, think about Reader and McNeil, Pascal, Hutchinson, and Dallas Turner walked up, with Anzalone and Jack Campbell. And then the stuff that you have going on with the safeties and players in the secondary and the ability to disguise things and blitz. Good luck. Right. Like, really, I mean, that's kind of where they are, is that they're in this situation where I think, you know, if you just look at the levels of their defense, you add a Davenport and Reader. So I think that, you know, the first level of your defense is better. And I want to say significantly better just because of the, you know, the idea that Reader is going to make it easy. He's going to make McNeil's job easier and Hutchinson's job easier. So the first level to me is better. The second level is linebackers and, you know, that safety level at times when they walk them into the box, it's kind of unchanged, but young players, who are, you know, ascending players, but then the third level of the defense with bringing Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson. And then, you know, you still have Cortland Sutton. You still have some of the other developing players that they have. You know, Brian Branch, I think, gets freed up by a lot of what they've done. And to me, Swiss Army knife. I look at the first level of their defense as markedly improved, and the back end of their defense as having, as the number one corner is obviously seriously improved. But now you've got some competition in that room and some playmaking and, you know, and some of the attitude that you want there.
Yep. Yep.
It's great. So, and then the Glasgow thing is, it was an important signing. I think we addressed it. We talked about it a while ago about how important it was going to be for them to bring him back simply because of the versatility of playing center and guard.
Right.
And obviously they saw the same stuff. So, here we are. It's a nice time to be a Lions fan.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it, right? Like,
yeah.
They're approved, and they were in the NFC title game last year. They're better today than they were a month ago.
In that game, yeah.
Okay, sign me up,
Yeah.
Well,
No, I love what we're doing. It's crazy to think. And I mean, it's one of those where it's like, all right, pick 29. I'm all for whatever we do. Just, don't draft the running back. And don't draft a quarterback, and don't draft a tight end. That's all I'm asking. If they draft any other position, I'm happy. I don't care. Just don't draft those three positions because I don't think we need to. I don't think there's a tight end worthy of taking there. I don't think there's a quarterback worthy of taking there or a running back worthy of taking there. So I don't know. You guys tell us what you like, dislike about our free agency discussion here or what the Lions have done so far. But we're going to tell you about a player that we think fits, and that's Zach Frazier. Out of West Virginia, an interior offensive lineman. I think he's a strong candidate to potentially be a pick at 29. And I simply say that because there's going to be a run on interior offensive lineman and offensive tackle in this draft. Like, if you're doing a mock draft and you continue to put receivers in there like Ladd McConkie and Xavier Worthy, like, that's fine. But realistically, the receiver run kind of stops after you get through the first tier of guys, the borderline first tier guys, and then the offensive linemen start going. And that's what's going to start happening. I mean, when you look at what's here, Seattle at 16, they're going to need help at guard. Do they look at Troy Fotanu? Do they look at Graham Barton? You look at Cincinnati, they're going to need help. Pittsburgh's looking for a center. Do they go Graham Barton? Miami's going to need help. Philly's going to need help.
Yeah.
You have Dallas. There's Tampa Bay. There's Arizona. There's Buffalo. Like, there's teams in front of us where there's going to be a run on offensive linemen, potentially. And the Lions are going to have to go for, in your mock draft simulators, the 58th player on the board or whatever it is. And if that's Zach Frazier, I don't care what his number is on a mock draft simulator. The Lions don't care either. We've known that with Gibbs and the Laporta stuff and all that. Jack Campbell, if they get to talk with Zach Frazier, which I'm assuming they have because he just fits. He is a great fit here for the potential future at center, because let's be honest, I think Frank Ragnow is near the end. He is one of those guys that is going to try to honor this contract that he's on the best he can. If he makes it all the way through, great. But it wouldn't surprise me if in a year or potentially two, he's just like, guys, I've gave it everything I had. I just can't keep doing this. And now you have a guy kind of ready to go with Zach Frazier because he's an experienced guy. 47 games played for the Mountaineers. He has 37 straight starts at center. He's had 9 games as a starter at left guard in 2020. I love this kid for just all the right reasons. He understands how to anchor. He understands how to win at the point of attack. His grip strength is great. He's one of those guys that I think has gotten so much better throughout the course of his career. Like when you go back to 2022, he's a bit of a heavy leaner. Head was down. And now he's kind of squaring guys up at the point of attack and just driving them. He's a great finisher. I love his skill set. And I think he makes a lot of sense at 29. Like, there's been mock drafts from like Daniel Jeremiah and stuff where they have him there at pick 29. And I'm with it. I think it's a great move. What say Zoop? I mean, what do you think?
I agree with you completely. He's a really nice fit for what they do. It's fun to watch him play. He is one of those guys who is like, all right, if you take a bad step or if you give him a little bit of, if you're a D tackle and you lean a little, he is going to punish you. How many times on his film have you seen him, I don't want to say spearing defensive tackles after he's thrown them to the ground. But it is a little bit like that. Like he wants to make it very clear that he's finished, them in the dirt like that. So So I see the finish. I see the how nasty he is. Yeah, I mean, I think he's really good in pass pro. I think he's got really good feet. He's very strong. Obviously, his grip strength is crazy good. Four-time heavyweight wrestling champion in West Virginia. It's always very obvious on film to watch interior offensive line who have wrestled because they know how to move people and they know the leverage points, you know, where to attack with their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just challenge people to watch him and tell me how many times you see him doing kind of like a pseudo hip toss.
Yeah.
Of really big guys. Like,
yeah.
This is a big college defensive tackle who he is just, you know, he's kind of hip tossed this dude because he might have got extended a little bit, and this guy's now on his back, and Frazier's, you know, put the crown of his helmet in the middle of his chest,
yeah,
kind of thing. So he does it all the time. So from a physicality standpoint, he's a perfect match for what the Lions do, and then the versatility of being able to play guard or center. Yeah, he can play guard right now. Totally cool. But yep. But he'll step in the future, like you said, and, you know, fill in for Ragnow when it is Ragnow's time to go. And that's one of the things that I think Holmes and Campbell have done a really good job of is preparing for this kind of stuff. It's mm-hmm. a known that Ragnow is on a bit of a, you know, there's, like you said, you know, there's no guarantee he's playing in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So prepare for it.
Yeah.
Frazier to me would be, it's not like there's never an interior offensive lineman where you think, oh, that's a home run in round one. Right. Mm-hmm. Cause that's just that's not how that kind of a pick goes.
Yeah.
But I think he's a great fit for what they do and he'd be perfectly fine. And he would improve their offensive line while giving them versatility, which is huge for them. So yeah. I would love this pick.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And his record, by the way, I'm glad you brought up the four-time state champion wrestler because I was going to do that as well. His record was 159-2. 159-2, which, I mean, it makes sense. He's 6'3", 315 pounds with 11-inch hands. That's ridiculous. And one of his top pro comps from a height, weight, speed, size measurable is Stefan Wesniewski. So that's kind of a fun little fit there if you want to compare players. If he can reach that 8-time Pro Bowler, start 108, 110 games for you.
Yeah. Perfect. That's
you know, I know Wesniewski was around, but.
Please.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he fits. I just think he fits in a number of very important ways. And it doesn't move the needle from that's a sexy pick.
Right.
No. But. He wins where it matters. Mm-hmm. He would allow you to run the ball. He's going to help you in pass pro. He's versatile.
Yep.
Yeah. Fine. Cool.
No.
Yep. And the thing is where they are is like, you know, this is as close as we're ever going to get to really knowing where Brad Holmes is going to go in the draft, basically mm-hmm. how they've hammered out their free agency process. But it doesn't mean that, I mean, we both think that offensive line is, not a priority, but it's where they're going to go and say we're on one or two, right?
Right.
But would it totally surprise you if they didn't?
No. It wouldn't. I mean, and I that's why I brought up, do they get aggressive and trade up? I mean, they got two, which is still a crazy thing to me with Carlton Davis trade. I know they gave up a third round pick, but they got 2 6-round picks.
Yeah.
And a player on a 1-year deal with, you know, a $14 million cap hit. Like, that's unheard of. And, you know, maybe there's something deeper there with the physical aspect, like where maybe he's just super banged up. But I look at this team and they have the flexibility to move up. They can sit there, take a guy like Zach Frazier. They can sit there and take a wide receiver if they like. I mean, they could do a variety of things. And it's a great place to be. But I think we're kind of hitting the nail on the head that Zach Frazier would be a plug and play left guard to start his career here in Detroit. Potentially, and he'd be just a great fit. But speaking of sexy picks, you got a player that we're going to talk about here in a minute as we pay the bills with our friends over at Restore Hyper Wellness, our prospect of the week, which is powered by Restore. You guys already know about it. If you don't, I got to tell you about it. Restore Hyper Wellness. Maybe you're an athlete. Maybe you got kids that are athletes or you're just trying to get back in the gym. You're not recovering like you used to. I got a solution for you. Go check out our friends over at Restore Hyper Wellness here in Northville in Birmingham, Michigan. My son and I both go. We love it. He's a three-sport athlete. He's been there multiple times. He goes multiple times a week. I'm in the gym multiple times a week. And we're going there just to get our bodies right by visiting Restore. They've got everything you need from compressions to cryotherapy, even specialty services. So check them out. After just one visit, I felt better. My son felt better. Friends and family are feeling better. And they've been hooked ever since. So they've got a ton of offers right now over at Restore. They've got things like two cryotherapy sessions for $30. You can save 50% on your first IV and a whole lot more. So go check them out and get a family member or a friend or even yourself the service you need to restore your body. Tell them I sent you from the Detroit Lions podcast so they can get you taken care of so you can get back to doing more of what you love. Don't wait around. Go check out Restore Hyper Wellness now. So, sexy pick. You got kind of a guy that probably we wouldn't take at 39, but maybe we move up for him on day two. But who's the guy that's your prospect of the week that you want to talk about?
So it's Florida receiver Ricky Pearsall. And
love it.
I think he's a very under the radar player solely because of the class. It's because of how good the class is at the top.
Yeah.
Right? So in another class, he would be a first round player. If you take away the elites in this class, is he a top 7 or 8 player in this class? Absolutely. He is a really interesting player because he's super fast. He is incredible when the ball's in the air. I find him fun to watch, and he's uniquely talented with the ball in his hands, right? Like he's really good yards after the catch,
mm-hmm.
but his ability to find the ball and like track stuff over his shoulders is kind of crazy. Now, the one thing with him, he's super fast. I don't know that he's got great, I don't know that he's a guy who's going to get to top gear in his first step, right? So you're gonna have to figure out exactly where and how he's gonna get off the line of scrimmage for you. But I think he runs a bunch of routes. I think that Goff would find him very trustworthy. He gets to where he needs to get to, but it's more the explosive stuff that he does with the ball in his hands and with the ball in the air, where his contested catchability is remarkable. I think that the Lions need an outside guy who can win with the ball in the air, and he can do all those things, but there's a dynamicism that comes with his ability to move at speed.
Yeah.
Which is it's fun to watch it. And like I said, the yards after the catch stuff with him and the ability for him to adjust his body with the ball in the air, super impressive. So I don't expect him to be a player that goes in round one. I also to go get him, but I think that he would, if you just looking at what their offense already has, and the playmaking they have in the middle of the field, he's a player that can win in the boundary parts of the field, and they need that. They're lacking that. He's not big. So I think he's a shade over 6 foot. He was 193 pounds, I think 190, 195 pounds. So he's an average size guy, but it's the competitiveness. The ball is mine. If it's anybody's mentality,
yep.
when the ball's in the air, it's his. He's great at manipulating his body. I think he's everything that they need in a price that isn't a round one price. So to me, I love the player. I think he is, again, I think he's under the radar simply because of the greatness at the top of this class at the position. So what do you think of him?
I think it's a great fit. I think he's a fun player. He's a top 40 player for me. I think you hit the nail on the head about just, you know, the snap, the way he runs his routes, the way he's able to throttle down and just snap and break routes off. And, you know, he's a difference maker, man. And I think he's one of those guys that with that speed, and if he can get, you know, in tuned with a receiver or with a quarterback, he can be just an absolute weapon in the passing game. I mean, and he looks like a smaller guy, but he's not. I mean, he's 6'1", 190 pounds. He ran a, you know, a 4.41. His 10-yard split was, you know, 1.57 seconds, which wasn't, you know, terrible. But the three-cone drill was, you know, 93 percentile for players in the draft at 6.64 seconds. So, I mean, it just goes to show how fluid he is.
Yeah.
And I love his skill set. I mean, I think when you're looking for guys that can hit the outside of the numbers, the middle of the field, the short area stuff, he can do all of that. And again, he's got some of the deep speed to just run vertically if you wanted to deploy JMO to do something else. So I think it's a great fit. You might have to move up from 51 to go get him, or excuse me, 61 to go get him, whatever the pick is.
Sure.
But no, I love it.
You just added 2 6 rounders. You know, if you're coming up to say 45 from 61, you know, this is the kind of player that you want in this class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I think it's a great player for a deep receiver draft. I think if it wasn't so top heavy, and then just, you know, the next tier, if it wasn't so deep in every single tier, I think we'd be talking about Ricky Pearsall a little bit more if it was just an average wide receiver draft.
Yep.
But it's one of those things. But my prospect of the week here is Dominic Puny from Kansas. He's the, I've got him labeled as an interior offensive lineman, but, you know, he was a left tackle. A former right tackle, but he's a guy that's over the last two seasons, he started 22 games for them. And I really like what I've seen from him. He measured 6'5", 313 pounds, over 33 inch arms, not overly explosive, which is fine. I thought footwork wise, he could improve a little bit there. He opens his hips too much in pass protection. He oversets a little bit. And for a guy that, you know, is as tall as he is at 6'5", his pad level just remains high consistently. So I think that's got to improve. But I think he's versatile enough to play guard or tackle. He's got really good balance. He's always under control in pass protection. He's got good quickness when pulling and reaching. He doesn't appear to be limited in space. So I know he's not overly explosive, but it looks like he can operate in space. So that's a positive for a team like Detroit, who they need those interior guys to seal off linebackers and pull, and, you know, those short traps that we like to do. So
yeah.
That's what Puny does. He'll seal off the defenders at the second level. He gets out in space. So I think as a potential late day two, early day three pick, I think he's somebody that could develop as a starter right, you know, down the road. Probably not going to play right away. I think he's best suited to play guard or center. He did a little bit of center stuff at the Senior Bowl. Kind of comes from a family of athletes. His brother Derek was a UDFA for the Dallas Cowboys and played at Central Missouri. His sister was a volleyball player, or excuse me, a college basketball player at Eastern Michigan and Illinois State. Puny had played high school volleyball and was a track and field kid as well. So I think he's a multi-sport athlete, just a good dude that kind of fits what they're looking for a depth player in the interior part of their offensive line. So if they pass on offensive line at, you know, pick 29 and pick 61, maybe they move from pick 73, move down a little bit, and they get a, you know, fourth round pick or a fifth round pick or something like that, and then they take Puny in the third round. That's always a possibility too. So I would be really curious on how they attack this draft at pick 29 and 61. Simply because I think it would probably shape the way that they would attack a potential interior offensive lineman like Puny or another player there at pick 73 or a little bit later in the draft. So I like Puny. I don't know if you've watched him or anything like that, but he's a fun player.
I think he's clearly a guard, right?
Yes.
He's an interior player. And then it's a matter of how do we improve his anchor?
Mm-hmm.
And his ability to deal with power. So to me, he's a developmental guy, but because of his ability to move, you know, it's fine. You know, and I do think that I thought he was fine at left tackle at Kansas, you know. I just think that some of this stuff is arm length and some heaviness in his feet, where I think guards more where he goes in the future.
Yeah.
I like the idea that he did take snaps at the Senior Bowl. There's a recognition at that point, that an understanding that, all right, my future is inside as a guard or as a center. And, you know, you'd be drafting him as a player to develop and deploy down the road. So he's one of those guys that, you know, you look at and you think he's versatile enough. He could play, you know, he's played outside both sides. He's going to play inside.
Yeah.
But he's done other things athletically. He's one of those players that I think in round three or four, yeah, it's fine. It's good.
One of his top pro comps, when you pull up the measurables and all that, is Zane Beatles. So, I mean, if you remember Zane from back in the, you know, early 2010s and stuff like that, played at Denver, started over 120 plus games in his career. I mean, if you can find a guy like this in the third or fourth round, cool.
You're stealing.
Yeah, you're stealing, right? You're wheeling and dealing and you're stealing. So I think it's a great move if they're able to add a guy like that. And I got plenty of other interior offensive linemen, but we'll save that for another episode, just like wide receiver and other players. But yeah. Those are our prospects of the week powered by Restore. Of course, check out our friends over at restore.com. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. That's free agency. That's the player fit. That's our prospect of the week. You got anything else for us? Anything else we want to talk about? I don't know. Anything else on your mind? What's going on?
Oh, God. How long do you got?
therapy session.
Yeah, I could use that. I think, you know, it's interesting because I don't know that they're done. But I think they're done making I could be totally wrong. I think they're done making moves that potentially impact the starters, if that makes any sense. Like, so all these moves that they've made to this point, I think are moves that they hope, you know, obviously Carlton Davis is a number one corner now. Amik Robertson, you hope, becomes corner two. You hope Davenport steps in and becomes a part of a rotation, but a productive part. Obviously, Glasgow is what he is, and he's super important to them. And Reader is, you know, Reader is one of the keys that's going to open things up for them on defense. But at this point, I think you're looking at, all right, let's go find some value. We talked about safety earlier. I think safety could be in their future, but not a big name player by any stretch. But they could use some depth, right? So to me, we're at a point where we're in like the third or fourth wave, if you want to call that a free agency. And this is about building maybe the bottom 10 players on their roster, maybe even the bottom five. And improving the depth there. But it's still important stuff. And then also looking at special teams and you know, making some signings where you've lost a couple players who are core special teamers for them. You know, we'll see what happens in the next week or so. But, you know, I don't think they're done, but I think the door is now kind of shut on the priority players.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts are there, but that's kind of where I am with.
I'm with you. I'm curious what happens with Josh Reynolds. He's due for a contract here. So did they bring him back? Did the NFC Championship game kind of leave the sour taste in the mouth? What are we going to do there? If they don't bring him back, do they move one of these sixth round picks for, you know, kind of like what they did with Denzel Mims? They took a flyer on him and it didn't work out. They kind of did the same thing with Peoples Jones. Do they bring one of those guys back? Do they take a sixth-round pick and use a flyer to get another guy at wide receiver? Do they take a fifth-round pick next year or something and try to get a guard that's maybe available on a deeper offensive line unit in the NFL right now? You know, you look at what Carolina's done. They brought in two guards and spent a ton of money for guys on the interior part. And apparently Bozeman, the guy from Alabama that they've had for several years now, is available. I mean, if he's available via trade, do you throw a fifth rounder out there for next year and bring him in? And maybe he's a guard center guy with the young guy that you draft. I mean, I think there's a lot of options for them. And I'll be curious how the next week goes with that. And I don't think they're done. I'm with you. I think maybe on the bigger names, probably. But maybe they surprise us with another move. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. But you guys, of course, can keep up to date with all of it by following us on Twitter or X at RussNFLDraft and at Bischoff_Scott. Smash those follow buttons. And of course, you can do the same by following Detroit Lions Podcast on Twitter or X, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. And of course, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the show on all of your podcast platforms. So this was a lot of fun getting back in the saddle, being able to do this. Always enjoy it. Anything else before we sign off for the night?
We're good. We're good. Happy free agency, everybody.
Yeah, welcome to it. It's where we're back into the football mix. We got plenty of draft stuff coming. So appreciate everybody for following along. He's Scott Bischoff. I'm Russ Brown. This is Bischoff and Brown right here on the Detroit Lions.
Let's bring it here together. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Come on, baby. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions!
You've had enough of that shit.